He's an introvert, interviewing strangers from the internet, knocking down the walls of his comfort zone, one conversation at a time. This is the Gary Cantrell Podcast.
The Gary Cantrell Podcast, July the 1st, 2020. How's it going, everybody? God, my voice has got to be scratchy right out of the gate. You know, I could just go back and re-record it 100 times, but that wouldn't be authentic now, would it? No, I don't think so. On the podcast today, my pal Frank just got connected over on Instagram not too long ago, and we got him on the show, talk about a number of things. Before we get to the chat with Frank, though, I got to tell you about some important people, the Patreon podcast producers, and they are Caitlin at Caitlin, at least put three Y's in her name. Three times is awesome. Vanessa at Vanessa Ray's Journey, also awesome. And Amanda at Mutz underscore and underscore Miles, also awesome. Patreon.com/Gary Cantrell. Head over and check it out. Look, here's the deal. You're going to get this podcast 5 days before the general public. That includes the new video version. That's right, we're doing video versions now. So you can get the audio and video 5 days before everyone else. Also, you are going to get 25% off the hardworkalwayswins.com merch store and a whole lot of other goodies. Patreon.com/Gary Cantrell. All right, let's go ahead and get this podcast started. Like I said, Frank, we got connected a little while ago. Asked him to be on the podcast. He said yes. We did a thing. Let's get to this chat. It's a lot of fun. Where are you talking to me from?
I'm in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts, right between Worcester and Boston.
You know, I've never been up there before in Massachusetts.
Really?
Yeah.
You're in Virginia, right?
Yep, just outside of D.C.
I've been there many a time, so.
Yeah, I've never made it that far north. The farthest north that I've made it is New York City. I take that back. Connecticut. My cousin dragged me to some vape convention. I don't even vape, and he dragged me to some convention, and I was just like, he needed a ride, basically, and I was like, okay, I'll give you a ride. And
where about in Connecticut? That's right. I grew up in Connecticut. So where about in Connecticut was it?
We were over at the Mohegan Sun. So wherever that's
okay.
At.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's not that far from me. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That was crazy. Now, did you grow up in Massachusetts?
No, I grew up in Connecticut.
Oh, that's right.
So, yep. So
I'm on top of my game this morning. So, we got connected on Instagram here, recently, checking out your page here, Lighten Up Blog. There's some underscores in there. Tell me a little bit about your story.
Well, for me, it's kind of a, you know, weight loss story. I'm 50 four now, and so I had done the typical. I'd lost a bunch of weight, gained it back, lost it, gained it back, like everybody does. And finally, a few years ago, after I got sick, and said, "Oh, I'm going to try again." Something kind of clicked, and I think I finally figured something out. Figured out how to stop doing that whole yo-yo thing. And when this all started to work for me, I said, you know, I think it's, now that I've figured this out, I think it's kind of selfish if I don't share this, you know. Yeah. I think it's not living my best life if I just do this for myself and I don't figure out a way to help other people, you know, learn it sooner than I did.
Yeah.
You know, if they're trying to get to this point. So that's sort of what that's really why I came here. I'm not, you know, coming here just because I look pretty. that wasn't my goal. So I just thought, hey, maybe I can help some people out. So
yeah.
How do
we get to the point where I'm looking here now on your Instagram bio, your highest was at 400 was the absolute highest you made it?
Yeah, that was it. That was really the point where I said, well, because I don't know about what was your highest?
I was just a little bit over 400, less than 420, but over 400, somewhere in there. I don't.
You're taller than me, I think, though. I'm like 5'8"-ish. How tall are you? You seem like a bigger guy.
5'10".
Okay, so you, yeah. I was at a doctor's office and saw 400 in the scale, and before that, I kept saying, "Oh, I can, you know, at any point I could just lose it, you know. I'm sure I can lose it. And then I saw that, I said, whoa, I'm like that balloon floating away where it's just above the ground. And I'm like, if this goes like 10 feet higher, I can't jump anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta, pretty soon all those people like in the grocery store, in those, like, you know, driving around, go, that starts to look good, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Like, I gotta do this. So 400 really was what slapped me in the face.
Well, and before you saw that number, I'm almost guaranteeing, and correct me if I'm wrong, you probably didn't feel 400, right? You probably thought in your mind, it's probably 3-something, no big deal, right?
Yeah, no, because I was, you know, when I was working, I've worked in college athletics for 20 years, and I was the busiest man in show business.
Yeah.
You know, I worked 7 days a week, and I was working days and nights, and so I just was working around kids all the time, and I'm at games, and I'm traveling, and so I just, my weight never bothered me. I was, thank God, I never had any weight-related illness. I never had anything that, you know, I didn't have diabetes, I didn't have anything, I had heart issues, so it hadn't caught up to me. Not that it wasn't going to, you know, but it hadn't. So I just, that's why I kept saying, well, I'll get to it. I'll get to it. I'll get to it. And it just, but I started to say, you know, what happens if I break my ankle? You know what I mean? It's something, you know, yeah. I was just playing with fire. And then, I think I mentioned this to you. So I was working one night, doing a leadership academy, for our student athletes, and I suddenly get this like crazy pain in my head, and this went on for like a couple of days, like crazy, like couldn't figure out what it was. Doctors couldn't figure out what it was. And then, you know, primary care, whatever, went into a couple of appointments. Finally, they sent me to a neurologist. I'm in his office for 2 minutes, and he says, "You have cluster headaches," which I have never heard of. You ever heard of?
No.
It's great. Anytime someone tells me they've never heard of them, like, thank God.
Educate me, Frank, please.
You don't want to, because these things, they have, there's two other names for them. And one is what I call the not nice name. One of them is alarm clock headaches. And that's the fun name. And the reason they're called alarm clock headaches is if you have these things, they start at the exact same time every day. And when I say the exact same time, I'm at the point now where I only get one a day. I get it at 2:06 every night. And when I say 2:06, I mean 2:06 a.m.
on the dot.
I get a headache. I mean, if I'm asleep, I wake up at 2:05 to see the clock turn to 2:06, and boom, that thing comes on, screaming pain. I mean, otherwise, if I'm just sitting here in the office, I get ready, I wait, boom, it comes on at 2:06. Right on the dot. That's why it's called an alarm clock headache. The other thing it's called is, they're called suicide headaches.
Yeah.
Because if you are someone that doesn't have support in your life with these things, and you get these all the time, they're like a migraine times a million. They're just awful. And I have the one a day, and it lasts for 45 minutes to an hour and a half. And it's awful, but it's one a day, and I can deal with it. The rest of the day I have migraines, which is bad, but the first time I had it, it was cluster. It was like you'd get this row of them, like six in a row. And, you know, they're trying all these different things. And this was 14 straight weeks of these. And what the doctors were saying, well, hopefully they'll stop, but we have no idea. You could have this for the rest of your life. So it was terrifying. So I'm out of work, I'm home, and, you know, so this would be all night. And by the time it finished in the morning, it was like you'd just been beat up, and you would just basically all day, you would just like sleep until you wouldn't go through the thing the next day. And so finally it stopped. So this has been like 2010 or so.
Right.
And then I was able to go back to work, and I was basically back to normal after that. But the thing about clusters is they come back. You don't know when they're going to come back. 6 months later, a year later. So it was like the sword of Damocles hanging over my head. I was just, every time I'd be at work, I'd go, wait, is something, you know, is my spidey sense tingling? Is it going to come back? I had no idea when.
Yeah.
It was like 2 years later, they came back. And the nice thing was, at least we knew the medication to get me on. And at least that time I knew they were going to stop. So it was 8 weeks. They were over, back to work. But that time I was just not right, because that time when I came back, I started getting these migraines every day. That's what I have now. So I was working. And have you ever had migraine, Gary?
Oh, yeah.
You get them?
Yeah. Pain in the ass, let me tell you.
I still remember. I can't. The first time I went into the doctor, they said, "You get frequent migraines?" And I go, "Well, yeah, you know, I get them once or twice a year. Is that frequent?" Yeah, that's. I get them every day now for like 15 hours, and I answered yes to frequent for once or twice a year. So I feel bad about that. But so I was getting these things and trying to work through them, because I was somehow able to do it. But, you know, I'm working sporting events. So if you ever know you had a migraine, you really don't want bright lights or music.
No, not at all.
So I'm at a basketball game. So, you know, with a band playing and lights. And so it wasn't good. So I did that for a couple of years. I kept trying to work, but my wife was getting real mad at me. I'd come home all sweated through my clothes and just, I'd been throwing up at work. And finally I said to my doctor, "I can't do this." So, you know, I had to leave work, and I loved my job. I loved working. I loved working with athletics. I loved working with sports teams. And so I had to give it up. And, so then I, you know, weight loss then, you know, I think I gained a little, I think when I left, I probably was pretty close to 400 at that point. I probably only gained a few more pounds because I wasn't eating a lot. You're in pain, you don't eat. You know, I called it the pain diet. You know, at that point, you know, you're not hungry. But that's when I saw 400, I'm like, you know what? I need a project to dive into, because I am, you know, I need something to do. And that's when I said, all right, I'm gonna start to lose weight. And that's what made me start to do it. So.
Well, that, I mean, yeah, you get into some health scares, and that'll wake you up pretty quickly. I don't know where you're at with this, but I know for me, one of the things I dealt with the most at 400 was when I would wake up and just that act of getting out of the bed, and you would see, you know, you would feel the pain shooting up from your feet all the way up your body. Did you ever deal with any of that kind of stuff waking up every day?
I would get the swollen feet. You know, my feet would be kind of swollen. I, you know, at the end of the day from being on the feet all day, I have like the puffy ankles and stuff. My wife would go, "That did not look good." I'm like, yeah, it's not a great look. But no, I said, I think I was really lucky, and I didn't have it. I think I was just in denial, which is, I think, what most people who deal with it, who are overweight, say, "Oh yeah, I'm fine." You know what I mean? You just deal with it. I'm good. I mean, what did I do? I avoided sitting in wicker chairs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, but besides that, I was good. No, I was just, but I really, of course I wanted to, you know, we had a kid and, you know, I wanted to lose weight. But I had made two real efforts before that. I had done Jenny Craig, and I lost 80 pounds, probably around the year 2000. But I found those again real fast after I lost them. They were easy to find. And then like 10 years later, I did Atkins, and I lost about 80 pounds. I found those again. Those were easy to find. So I had done those a couple. So when I decided to lose the weight again, I said, okay, let's pick something else. Let's do keto, let's do, you know, something, let's pick another diet. And then I finally said, what am I going to do that? I've done this. I've been stupid twice.
Right.
That's when the penny dropped for me. I'm like, look, diets are awful. Diets don't work.
I just imagine you for a second with like one of these hats, and you're just pulling things out of the hat. Okay, let's try this. Let's try that. Right.
Exactly. That is exactly. I was actually in a doctor's office talking about headache stuff, and she was, hold on a second. Excuse me. She was someone that was trying to lose weight herself. So we were just kind of kicking it around, because I was telling her I was interested in losing weight. And she's like, "Oh, what do you snack on?" So of course, you know, when one of the denial things you do when you're big, someone asks you something like that, you don't say, "Oh, I'll pound a bag of Doritos." You go, "Oh, I love peanut butter and apples, you know, you just yeah. get like the healthiest thing you eat, right?
Yep.
She goes, oh, well, you know, you should try almond butter instead of peanut butter. It's so much healthier. So I said, oh, okay, I'll give that a try. So I gave it a try. I got myself a jar of almond butter, put it on an apple. God, that stuff's awful. I don't know if you ever tried it. It was terrible.
No, I never have. Yeah.
Oh, it's awful. I mean, I love peanut butter. I don't know if you're a peanut butter guy.
Yeah, I definitely.
Okay.
Crunchy or smooth? Sorry.
Smooth. I'm a smooth guy.
All right, where's the? I gotta end this call. Hold on. No, okay. I'm kidding.
No. I don't want that stuff stuck in my teeth. No. I mean, I don't mind it, but whatever. No, not like on an apple. I gotta spread it out.
Well, here's my perspective of it. I feel like I'm getting a little bit more. Like you almost feel like you're getting more bang for your buck, if that makes sense.
I got it. Okay, you're actually eating something. I get it. All right. So I try this almond butter crap. And I go back to her. I'm like, was that a joke? Were you trying to hurt me with this stuff? She goes, no, it's so much better for you. So I said, all right, fine. Well, you know what? And I put that diet mentality on. Okay, well, I guess if I want to lose weight, that this almond butter has to be my new peanut butter. And this is what you have to do, because to lose weight, you have to punish yourself. And, you know, you have to give things up.
Of course.
And I'm like, no, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to eat this almond butter for 6 months. I'll lose weight. And then they'll find me spread out in the candy aisle of a Target with 16 bags of Reese's peanut butter cups, like opened and all over my face. You know, so I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. And at that point, I came up with the one overriding rule, which was, if I ever ask myself, how much longer do I have to do something in this weight loss program? I'm not going to do that thing. That's it. If it's not something that I can make a change, that's a permanent change that I can integrate into my life every day and still eat happy and be pleased with it, I'm not doing it. And that, I think, was the moment that I said, this is going to work. That's why 3 years later, I'm still losing weight. And if I don't feel like I've dieted a single day in the whole process.
Well, there's something really big to what you said there, because this whole idea of weight loss and diets and all that stuff is always based around, to the general public, is always based around some sort of time limit. It's some sort of
deprivation, you know. Gary, it's always about depriving yourself for a while. I can do this, you know, people talk about people like fat people don't have willpower. It's all willpower. You are basically putting yourself through hell for a year, or right, exactly. I can do it for a year. It's a time limit, right?
Exactly,
yeah, I can do it to get to my goal. But then what happens when you get to your goal? You say, congratulations to me. Okay, I can celebrate and I can just take the foot off the pedal a little bit. And of course, you're just going to slide right back. And we've all done it. Everybody who's ever dieted, we've seen it. You've seen it in your friends who've lost weight. You've seen it in yourself, right? It's inevitable. And we do it again and again. And you give up all your energy, because then you look and you go, oh, what was all that pain for? I went through all that pain to lose all that weight and then I gained it back. So what was the pain for? I just didn't want to do it again. I didn't have that in me. So I literally flipped it around this time, and literally every day I enjoy what I eat. And so it's been slower. I mean, I'm closing in on, I started at 400. I'm at 228 right now.
Wow. Virtual fist bump for you, my man.
Thank you very much. But still, you know, it's still just slowly going down. I mean, so even now it's still slowly going down. So 3 years later, that's the thing. It hasn't stopped. And, you know, by most people by this point would have hit their peak and now would be like gaining the weight back, but I'm still just,
that's me.
I'm still just moving forward. I'm just, you know,
yeah.
I lost like 100 pounds the first year, 50 pounds the second year, 25 pounds. So it's slower, but I don't care because I enjoy what I eat. I'm not dieting. I'm just eating healthier. I like the changes I've made. I make other little changes along the way. I tweak things. I go, oh, no, that's not going to work. I'm really happy with the way we eat. And it works. So if I go 2 weeks, 6 weeks with no weight loss, it doesn't bother me. I don't feel like it was a waste of time. I haven't deprived myself of anything. It's just a different way of doing it. And I really, I wouldn't put it out there as a diet. I would never, on my blog, I put recipes a lot of times. I write about, I try to give people some advice, but I've never put a meal plan because what I eat isn't what you should eat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd rather say, hey, Gary, here are the things that helped me build my meal plan and build the way I eat. Maybe it'll help you figure out how you can build yours, because it's still going to be custom to the way you do it. It's still got to be based on the foods you like. Yeah. I might like some things and you go, God, those are, I can't eat that stuff. That's terrible. I heard you talking about how much you hate Brussels sprouts. Right?
Yes.
Right. Now, I didn't like them either, but we've tried some recipes. Now we kind of like them. That doesn't mean you will. You mean you probably, you, but you can lose weight without eating Brussels sprouts. Do you know what I mean? But some people
definitely
go, well, but some people will say, well, no, I did it with Brussels sprouts. So you have to go on the Brussels sprouts diet, you know?
Oh, it drives me nuts, Frank. There are people, and I think at the core of it, there are people that genuinely want to help. And I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to disparage them. But however, the way that they go about it sometimes, the way that they try to explain it, where they're like, you know, well, because I did this or because I read some random Facebook article that has absolutely no merit, this is how you do it. And they try to guilt you because you're not doing it exactly that way.
Yeah, exactly. No. The way I look at it is if there have been, and this is a made up number, but if there are 12 principles, by the way, you can tell I'm Italian with a hand talking thing.
Yeah.
If there have been 12 principles that have helped me build my weight loss program, and I told them to you, you'd pick four of them and go, wow, those four really work for me. I think I can use these four. These are really good. And you pick another four and go, eh. You know what? Hey, I think I can take these four and switch them around. And I think I can make four things there that would work for me. And the other four, you're going to go, those are the kooky fruit from the haha bush. Those have nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
But if we then talk to somebody else, they'll have the same exact reaction, but with a different four, a different four, and a different four, because everybody is different. You know what I mean?
100%.
But to give somebody a meal plan, no, you gotta eat the food you. I mean, this sounds stupid, but I eat M&Ms every night. I know that's, you shouldn't do that. And someone's gonna say, that's crazy. But I've heard you do it too. I portion them out in little Ziploc bags, and because I do that, it's 1 ounce of it, and it lets me feel like, hey, I'm not dieting. I get my little M&Ms Jones every night, and it makes me happy.
Yes.
Does it slow down my weight loss? I don't know, maybe, but it keeps it going, and it doesn't ever make me tear into a giant bag of them. And it makes me excited. I eat happy every day. It makes a huge difference for me. I'm not telling someone to go on the M&M diet. That's stupid. You know what I mean?
it's one of my favorite hacks, Frank. And don't get me wrong. I mean, there are still days where I'm terrible with my portions, but on some days when I'm really focused, you know, laser focused, I can portion them out in the bags and everything turns out well.
Do you track what you eat? Do you use like MyFitnessPal or something?
This is my struggle with that, is that I just, because a lot of the times I eat the same thing, I get bored typing in these things all the time, and I just give up. Like, I'll do it for 2 or 3 months consistently, and then I just stop. And it's just one of those things in my head that it just says, ah, you don't need to put this stuff in. And then like 6 months later, oh, let's start tracking it again.
I think for me, I have found that to be the most important 5 minutes of my day.
Yeah.
Even now, 3 years later, because I think that in the beginning, of course, it's vitally important. You want to do it because if you're going to make changes to what you eat, you need to know what you eat, you know?
Yes.
So if you track what you eat for 2 weeks, then you can go back. And I mean, if I told you, hey, if you knock 1,000 calories off of what you ate last week, you'll lose a pound. As you're eating things day to day, it's hard to knock 1,000 calories off. But if on Sunday night I said, Gary, here's what you ate last week, here's every food, and here's all the calorie counts, take 1,000 calories away and you lose a pound, it would be easy. You say, oh my God,
oh, yeah,
that's what I ate. oh yeah, I'll knock this off. That's easy. So that's what tracking your food is. You know what I mean? If you could say, well, this is what I eat every week. So next week I'll just do that again, but I'll just knock this and this and this off. And here I go. But so that's how I started doing it. But then I started to realize, like, now, you know, I hit these long plateaus 3 years into it.
Yep.
And so I start to, if I wasn't tracking, I would worry that maybe I'm hitting these plateaus because maybe I'm slipping. Maybe I'm eating a little bigger portion than I was. Maybe I'm grazing a little bit more. Maybe I'm not doing what I thought I was doing. And maybe that's why I'm in a plateau. But because I'm tracking, I can look and say, no, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. I'm on board. I'm tracking. And so I see that and I go, just keep doing what you're doing. And then eventually the plateau ends and I lose weight again. So it's just something that it's a nice safety net for me. And so I look at it as it's 5 minutes and I do it. So I think that's the one thing that for me helps. Maybe it's not for everybody, but you know, in the beginning it takes more time, but now 3 years in, it really is 5 minutes. So it helps me personally. Again, I wouldn't say everyone has to do it, but it really helps me.
Well, and to piggyback a little bit on what you were saying about the tracking, I had a friend come to me at one point and ask me about, you know, getting started and whatnot. And I told this person, I said, look, I would recommend just even like, you know, let's just say you haven't done any dieting or watching what you're eating. Take a week or two or three and just track literally everything. Like if you were like old school me, like, you know, going to McDonald's every day and having whatever you want, literally track all that and just understand that, you know, you're going to get a picture of what you're actually having. And that might give you, it might start to put the wheels in your head. And when you're ready, you'll take action, you know, but don't, you know, don't rush anything. Just start logging everything and just see where you stand.
You and I are like lockstep, because I feel like in the past when tracking had been presented to me, it was like everything else with overweight people. It sounded like it was a punishment.
Yep.
We are fat, so we have to track our food because we aren't responsible enough to not track our food. So we have to do this. So anytime I was asked to track my food, I would do it like I was a supermodel. And I would say, oh, all I ate last week was 3 carrots and a piece of celery.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that bag of Doritos counted. So this is what I ate. And so of course it's useless information. And then you realize this is data. This is just data. And if you're going to make changes, you need to know what you're making changes to. So you're right. Put everything in there, find out, take the picture of what you eat. If it's McDonald's 3 times a day, that's fine because then you have the picture and now you know what you're going to change. So, I mean, I would say the same thing to somebody. If you're just starting out, take 2 weeks and just keep eating the way you eat, because then you'll know what you're going to change. Because making little changes, making the obvious easy changes, will only happen if you know what you're changing. So find out what you're eating. You know, that is step one for everybody, I think.
Definitely, because I know that, you know, there's this point before you like get started, before you have that aha moment or whatever you want to call it, that, you know, in your mind, it's like, you know, okay, I need to do something. I need to do something. I need to do something. But maybe you're just not ready yet. And that's okay. Like, I really want people to understand this is okay. If you have a realization and it still takes you 3 more months to get started, so be it. You know, it's going to happen. You know, there's 100%. No hurry. There's no hurry. There's no rush. It's like, take what's going on right now. Now, this podcast here is going to air, I think, the end of June, first week of July, somewhere in there. As of today, May 16th, there I'm pulling back the curtain. You know, I've been on kind of this thing for the last couple of months, a little bit of a funk, more or less just eating wise. You know, the workouts I'm still pretty good at, but it's like, you know, I know I'm in this funk. I know essentially exactly what I need to do. But mentally, I'm just not quite ready to take action yet. And I don't know, you know, it could be just for a wide variety of reasons, but it's okay to go through these things, whether you're in the middle of something like me or you haven't started yet. Just take your time. You do not have to rush. There is no hurry. And it doesn't matter what you, Frank, or somebody else down the street's doing. It's all about what you're going to do and when you're ready to do it.
I couldn't agree more. And look, like I said, this is 3 years for me. You know, I'm not in a rush.
Yeah.
You know, I was over 50 too. So it's never too late to start. Never think you're too old to start, and never think you have to do it. And you see these people that lose 200 pounds in a year. They went from, 400 pounds to 180 pounds in 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, good for them. That's not you. Okay. When you're ready, you'll do it. And I always say to people, here's the thing. If you decide that you want to do this, when you want to do this, and you don't put a time limit on it, okay, as long as you don't put a time limit on it and you say, I'm eventually going to do this, you can't fail, because you'll either eventually reach your goal or you'll be on the way, like you, right? So right now you're in a lull, but you still know you're going to get back onto it.
Oh, yeah.
So you haven't failed. You're just in the process. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You only fail when you say, I want to lose 200 pounds in a year, because then a year comes and if you haven't reached your goal, you go, well, I failed. So just don't put a time limit on it. Just say, I have a goal weight. Okay. If you do have a goal weight, fine. Then just keep working towards it. And if it takes you 10 years, as long as you're still working, and if you take a break, if whatever, as long as you just have it out there and know you'll get to it at some point, when you're ready, you'll do it. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, and I did a podcast about something about this topic a couple of weeks ago. It was called Time and Numbers. And I truly believe, and people, there are people that might come across this and they'll argue me, they'll find 10 ways of why I'm wrong. But I strongly believe that when you base your goals around time and numbers, you've already failed.
Yeah, scale. I mean, I don't really, the only reason the scale is interesting to me at all right now is it big numbers interest me. When I was at 400, I said, and I started to lose weight, I said, boy, it'd be interesting to see a 299, I haven't seen. And then when I started losing again, I'm like, well, this is great. Now I'm not worried about numbers because I'm under 200. Then when I got under 250, I go, boy, could I ever get to 199? And I'm like, I don't know if that's ever possible for me, but now I'm at 228. And I'm like,
you're pretty close.
Hey, I don't know. Pretty close. I don't know if I'm going to get there. It's that still that this next 28 pounds might not happen. It might be 3 years. It might never happen. But it's out there. So that's the only number that kind of interests me. But I'm telling you, I'm not doing anything different. I'm not going to push myself. I'm not worried about it. If this is where I am, if my weight loss stops right now and I just continue to eat healthy and enjoy myself, I'm fine. I'm not obsessed about it. I completely agree with you. It's all about feeling better, eating healthier, your clothes fit. There's a lot of benefits that come from making the change. And, like I said, being healthy is the goal is to be healthy. The number doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the truth. And it's funny because I actually do weigh myself every day, but it's more like in that mindset that you have, it's like, well, what if the number looks like this or looks like that? I just kind of like to just enter it in. I like to
data.
Just kind of
yeah,
take
I do. I walk by the scale and hop on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just data. Like, hey, what's going on today? Yeah. I do too. But it doesn't change my mood.
Right.
But, I think because I enjoy, if you make yourself miserable with food, which some people do, the only pleasure they get is the scale.
Yes.
You know what I mean? If they go, God, all I did was eat this awful stuff yesterday, so the only joy I'm going to get is something from the scale. If they don't get the joy from the scale, then they failed. Then they didn't have any, so no, the scale is just a bonus for me. If that gives me something good, last night we had crab cakes last night, and I made a blueberry cake for dessert. We eat good food. So, I love to cook. Do you like to cook?
No, that's one of my biggest problems.
Okay.
Terrible with that, man. I don't know what it is. And it's funny because I watch stuff on YouTube about cooking. I have this limiting belief about failing when I've cooked, because in the past I've tried to cook stuff, maybe it gets burnt or it doesn't taste right. And so you have enough of those happen and you just like pump the brakes like, whoa. Let's stop this here for right now. And let's go back to that microwave or like stuff that has a certain time on it and you know exactly how to make it and that kind of stuff.
But you got to start with one or two things that you can make well. You know what I mean? You got to find one or two things that you can make, and that becomes like Gary's special something, and then from there you branch out. But I think I'm pretty good at it now, but I've had some epic failures. I mean, horrible, terrible things. I remember I used to, in the beginning when I was just starting out, I used to just try to cook a special meal for my wife on her birthday or something, or Mother's Day, or well, basically on her birthday before we had our kid.
Right.
And one time I tried to make her, I tried to bake her a cake, and I didn't know there was such, there's the recipe called for cake flour. And I don't know, you know, I'm a logical person. And so I was in the grocery store and I couldn't find cake flour, but I saw all purpose flour. Now, all purpose sounds to me like it should, you know, it's all purpose, right?
Yeah, for everything.
All purpose. So it should serve the purpose of cake flour, right?
100%.
You know, that's not how it works. So this thing tasted like an old foot when it came out. It was bad. It was bad. I could tell when we couldn't really get the knife through it. And yeah, it was, yikes. It was bad. So I've gotten better. So I'm pretty good now. Like I actually made a chocolate souffle for Mother's Day. So that's like advanced cooking last week. So I've gone from the old foot to chocolate souffle. So if I can do that, you can learn to cook something. So you make a goal this year that you're going to learn to cook one thing, you know?
Yeah.
And you can cook, you can tell you one thing you can do. You can roast vegetables, man. If there's any vegetable you like, put it in an oven at 425 degrees, put salt and pepper on it, and just cook that for 15 minutes, and it's good.
Green beans is my favorite one of choice. My wife, she gives me shit about it because she's just like, I eat that stuff all the time. Yeah, well, I like
beans.
It.
I love green beans. Yeah, but I tell you, salt and pepper, put them in the oven at 425 degrees for 15 minutes. They're delicious. You add, it's basically like eating them. You don't have to put anything else on them besides salt and pepper.
Yeah.
It's transformative. The only thing you're using is heat. It's great. We roast vegetables all the time. Like every dinner we have roasted something with it.
Yeah, I need to try that. But it's just for me personally, my vegetables are extremely limited. I mean, I love the green beans. I'll eat those all the time.
Yep.
You know, I do like a good salad. I do enjoy those. So that's, yep, you know, that's good.
That's good. Sure.
But it's just some of this other stuff like the Brussels sprouts, the cauliflower, these kind of things I do not touch.
Love cauliflower. If you look on my Instagram yesterday, I posted for lunch yesterday. So you would have hated this, boy. For lunch yesterday, I made a cauliflower steak with sauteed mushrooms and onions. So the boy had wanted nothing to do with that. He was on his own.
I'm looking at the picture right now. I have you on my other screen.
Yeah. So it was the first time I'd ever made that. I just said, hey, let's make this for lunch and give that a shot. It came out pretty good. I mean, that was a 90 calorie lunch.
That's it.
That was a 90 calorie lunch.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a pretty good. It was good too. We both liked it. I know I wouldn't eat it every day, but
yeah,
I mean, 90 calories for lunch is pretty good, you know?
Yeah,
that saved my M&M calories for the night. And then literally, I made for dessert. I made us we had a blueberry cake with whipped cream, and I put like strawberry like crumble on top. So we had that for dinner for dessert.
I didn't see a picture of that here on your Instagram.
Oh no, I ate it way too fast. There was no picture. That was way gone. There was no picture. There was no time for a picture of that.
Gone.
Absolutely. That was completely gone. Yeah, well, I mean, that, I tell you, that's the one thing I miss about restaurants, because we used to always try to have dessert when we go to restaurants. That was where we would go to restaurants and split a dessert, you know.
Yeah.
That made us feel like, I mean, like, I like to indulge. That was the other thing. It's nice to feel like you can just eat whatever you want if you just eat a nice, you know, I mean, these people that, I mean, I don't know, I'm just, I feel bad when I see people putting themselves through these diets. You know who Sisyphus is? You know the myth of Sisyphus? You ever heard of Sisyphus?
No, tell me about that.
All right, Sisyphus is, I'm going to get this, this is a perfect social media thing, because we'll talk about this, and I'll tell this story, and someone's going to go crazy, like, hey, you got that wrong. But all right, so I think, this is my liberal arts education, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to get most of this right. He was this Greek king, Sisyphus, and he was known for being like the cagiest, like most conniving, smartest king out there. And he used to fool the gods all the time. And I think what he got most trouble for, I think he fooled the god of death so that nobody on earth could die anymore. And all the other gods got really pissed off at him because then war wasn't fun anymore because no one was dying.
Right.
So then when they finally got him, Zeus then punished this guy. And so they gave him a big boulder. Okay. And they put it at the bottom of a hill. And what Sisyphus had to do, he had to roll this boulder up to the top of a mountain. But the problem was every time he got right up to the top of the mountain, the boulder would roll back to the bottom. And that's what he was punished for eternity. He had to keep trying to roll this boulder up to the top of a mountain and it would roll back down. That guy, in my opinion, should be the poster boy for dieting.
Okay? Yes.
Because that is what diets are like. People who try to diet, they push the thing up the hill, they get part of the way there, they keep pushing it, and it rolls right back down. That is the yo-yo diet. That is Sisyphus. Anybody who tries to diet, I look at them, I go, I wonder where on the mountain they are with their boulder right now. They're just pushing it up there right there, and it just rolls back down. That's everybody on a diet is Sisyphus.
And there's the punchline, folks. That's what, I mean, that's really what it is. You just
it go is what
up,
it is.
You get on the momentum, you're like, oh man, I'm strong, I'm getting it up the hill, I'm getting it up the hill, yeah. And then boom.
Right, and then all your effort is just keeping it halfway up there. You realize all you're doing is keeping the gain you've made, right?
Yep.
And then you say, oh, it's so heavy. Well, I'll just let go a little bit, and then it comes racing back down, and then for some reason, you say, I'll try it again.
Yep.
Right? And even though you know it's not going to work. And I think that's, like I said, that's when I said, no, I'm not doing this again, man. I'm not doing it that way. So, I mean, I don't do it. We just made these little, my wife does it with me, which really helps.
Right.
Really helps. Cause she's, I mean, she didn't have nearly the weight to lose, but she's lost like 60 pounds, something like that too. So.
That's incredible, man. I think that, you know, it definitely helps a lot if you have somebody to do it with you. And, you know, tell me a little bit also about the transitions, kind of going back to, you know, a half an hour ago when we were first talking about getting started, like,
sorry,
no, this is, we're in the talking business. This is good for me. But you know, that transition, because I think people think like, okay, I'm going to go on my diet or I'm going to go on my little plan and it's just all going to be great. Cause I'm going to be motivated and ready to go. But how hard was that for you to make that transition and to start taking the action?
It was hard. I mean, I think, you know, it's so I'm sure you had the same experience when you lost all your weight and people come up to you and say, oh, Gary, you look fantastic, and giving you all those compliments, you sort of feel bad taking them because, yeah, you look great now. But the person that deserves all the compliments are the you when you started. Because that's the person that had no idea if it was going to work or not.
Oh, yeah.
That's the person who was taking the leap of faith. They did not know it. You didn't know at that point if it was going to work. You were the one trying to build the whole program. So I think the transition for me, like I said, I had that basic rule where I was just saying, I'm not going to do anything that I can't do permanently. So it was baby steps. So I guess it wasn't that hard. I was really focused and motivated to do it. Which I guess I always are, you know, you always are in the beginning ever, cause every diet, even if you get on any diet program that you see on TV, they all, you know, everybody loses weight in the beginning, but the transition wasn't that bad for me because I didn't do anything difficult. I did just little things. I tracked my food for a couple of weeks and then I talk about like playing Jenga. You know, you play Jenga, right? I tracked my food. I built my tower of Jenga, and then I pulled out the really easy blocks. That's all I did. I just took the easy ones out in the beginning. So I didn't make it hard. I didn't make it crazy. I just pulled the easy blocks out and put them on top. And once you did that, it resettles. And I pulled the easy ones out again. I've done it step by step, step by step. That's how I've done it. So it was never hard. I feel bad when I tell this to people. But because and that's because I took it slow, I think too. I never went crazy. I never went too far. I can tell you, another day where this came into focus. So our son at that point was still in high school. He's in college now. So actually it was this year between college and high school.
Right.
And he was playing summer baseball. And as anybody who's got a kid doing that kind of stuff knows, you play in the middle of nowhere, you know, these town things. And so we were at the game and my wife and I were saying, okay, this game's almost over. Let's find a place to eat. So you pull up the phone. You're trying to figure, where the hell are we? I'm like, all right, I got a place. So we found some little pub place to go eat. And we had just started dieting. We just started trying to lose weight. So we go there. And of course he is, you know, 17 years old. So he's going to get a pulled pork sandwich with mac and cheese and, you know, whatever.
So good.
Right. Exactly. Of course. Right. And so I'm going to get what I consider to be the perfect meal when you're on the road. Now, I've traveled with sports teams for 20 years. There is, by the way, a perfect meal to get on the road. And that meal, I can tell you right now, is the following. You get a grilled chicken Caesar salad with dressing on the side and no croutons. Let me explain to you. This is why this is the perfect meal. If you don't know the place you're going.
Yeah.
If you order it that way, this is why it's the perfect meal. Because if you don't trust the place, you get dressing on the side because the dressing could be bad. And you want to see what the lettuce looks like. And you don't know if the chicken's any good, right? So now, if the dressing is bad, you still might be able to eat the chicken and the lettuce. You can make a lettuce wrap. If the chicken is kind of skanky, you can just still put the dressing on the lettuce and eat the salad.
Yeah.
And if the lettuce is skanky, you still got the chicken. You can dip it into the dressing. So you still have many choices there. And also, if the place is kind of sketchy, you don't want day-old bread from that place. So that is why you order that meal. That's the perfect meal to eat on the road. That's from traveling all across this country and eating in all different places. Anyway, so I order the perfect meal, as I always do, at a sketchy place. He gets this burger with the pulled pork with mac and cheese, and this mac and cheese looks so good to me. Now, yeah. Chris, I'm 2 weeks into trying to lose weight, and he goes, oh my God, this is so good. So I'm like, oh, I got to try a bite of this mac and cheese. So I tried a bite of this mac and cheese, and it was really good. And I don't know about you and mac and I love mac and cheese.
Oh, you know, God, are you kidding me?
Yeah, okay. So next week we go, he's got another game, a completely another town, a different town. I'm on the phone, try to find another place. Well, of course, somehow we're in another town. The same restaurant comes up as the closest place to go to again.
Yep.
We go back to the same restaurant, but now I trust it so I can order something else. They order their food. I go, you know what? I've been thinking about it all week. I go, I'll have the mac and cheese. Now, I'm trying to lose weight. They both look at me like this is a suicide attempt.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
I don't care. A big bowl of mac and cheese comes out. I'm like, what am I doing to myself? So I'm like, I don't care. I've been literally thinking about this mac and cheese for a week. I can't not have this mac and cheese. I start to eat it. I will not shut up about the mac and cheese. I'm like, this is the best mac and cheese. My son is like, yeah, I know, Dad, I had it last week. I'm eating it in front of you right now because he, of course, got the same thing again. My wife is like,
right.
I don't want to try this. So I'm like three bites into it. I will not shut up. And then finally, after like the fourth bite, I shut up, which is unusual for me, as you've noticed. I shut up and I just stop talking about it. And we go back to talking about whatever we're talking about, the game. And then I stop and I go, hey, you know what? I just realized I have stopped paying attention to this mac and cheese. And now I'm just going to tuck into this 3000 calorie bowl, but I've eaten all the enjoyment out of this mac and cheese. Do you know what I mean? Those first three bites, I was paying attention going, oh my God, this is so good.
Oh yeah.
And now I'm just going to tear into it and not pay any attention to it. And I stopped eating it. I pushed it aside. I took the side salad that came with it and I ate the side salad and I didn't eat any more of the mac and cheese. I was done. I got all the enjoyment I needed from it. The waitress came over. She goes, it was a bad. I go, no, it was great. I loved it. She goes, you barely ate it. I go, I don't want it. I'm all set. And I pushed it aside. And that's when I realized you can still eat anything you want, but you got to be mindful of it, eat it, enjoy it. And when you get to that point where you've eaten the enjoyment of it, stop. We eat past it. And it's part of being overweight. We're used to eating really fast. We eat through things. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah. You open that box of Girl Scout cookies and you just tear through the thing, you know, or you eat a bag of Doritos and you just eat the whole thing. But if you just kind of pay attention, you'll get to that point where you just stop enjoying and you just eat. And that's what led to the little bags of M&Ms and that kind of stuff. Cause you've seen it when you portion it out, you really enjoy those portioning outs, you know?
Oh yeah, it's something to do. It keeps your brain stimulated as well.
But you enjoy it. You know what I mean? When you eat, no, you portion out is it Doritos that you portion out or the chips?
I actually haven't done it in a couple of weeks, but yeah, it was usually like Doritos, like the Cool Ranch or something like that.
But let me ask you this. So when you portion out the Doritos and you eat a portion of it, you enjoy eating it, and afterwards you feel good, right?
Oh, yeah.
When you used to open up a bag of those and eat the whole bag, how'd you feel when you finished the bag of them?
Felt terrible.
Right, exactly. So it's not like we were enjoying eating all that stuff. Do you know what I mean? So I'm talking about wanting to eat happier. You eat so much happier if you can pay attention and eat. People think like, oh, if you eat that smaller portion, you don't. No, it's all about being happy with what you eat. And like I said, that was one of those moments with that mac and cheese. I'm like, holy crap, this is really something. This is like that's what led us to like eating desserts. And like it opened us up to just eating everything. I eat this. I don't say no. If I want something, I eat it. I just pay attention to the portion of it. You know, I make sure I eat it until I enjoy it and I don't want another bite of it.
I actually hadn't thought of this until you had just said it, but you know, there really is something to kind of eating very passively and not really after a certain point, just like you said, you start into it. You're like, oh my God, I was craving this. I love it. And then like, just after the first couple bites, it really does. Like, it's just, you're just, okay, I got to finish this now. I have to finish it. It's a habit. It's muscle memory.
You just put it
all down.
And the calories still count. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad used to come home. Now he was not a heavy guy, but he used to be hilarious. And he used to say, he'd come home and say to my mom, oh, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten all day. She goes, you haven't eaten all day? Really? He goes, yeah. Oh, well, you know, I had a business meeting this morning. I had a bagel and some eggs or whatever. And then I was at the club. I played golf and I had a hot dog and a sandwich or whatever. But you know, and then I went out afterwards and I had a chicken sandwich or something. But I haven't eaten anything all day. She's like, what? I mean, because if he felt like if he didn't pay attention to it, it didn't count as food. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
No, it counts. It still counts. If you eat it, it counts. But if we're passive about it, and we do that so much because when we're overweight, we just tend to we're watching TV and we just mindlessly eat. So I think paying more attention, and I do that now, and I think it's a skill. I do think it's something you have to pay attention to. And I think I've gotten much better at it over these 3 years, to the point now where I really do it. So I don't think it's easy, but I think it's something that probably was the hardest thing to really get a grip on. So maybe I think that was probably the biggest part in the transition, was learning that skill. But and I think that's something that skinny people are good at, really good at. Like I used to always say, like, if you work in an office, you can, and they always have birthday parties, you know, and they serve cake, and you say, you know, if you want to know if the cake is good, ask the fat guy, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
No. See, that's the thing. I used to think that too, but it's not, don't ask. You could ask the fat guy or look at the skinny person. Okay. You ask the fat guy and say, hey, how's the cake? And they're eating it, and they'll go, oh, it's terrible. Right. Or, yeah. Oh, it's great. But either way, yeah, they're eating the damn cake. Right.
Of course.
Look at the skinny person. If they're just holding the cake on their plate and they're not eating it, you'll know it's no good, because they're not going to eat it if it's no good. Right.
I never thought about it like this. You blow my mind.
But it's true. I'm telling you. They'll eat a bite. They go, oh, happy birthday. And then they'll go, whoop, and they'll throw it in the trash, because that's what skinny people do. That's how they're skinny. We don't think that way. We think with cake, what are you going to do? Throw it away? No, you're not going to waste cake. That's perfectly good cake. I don't care if it tastes like a foot. I've made cake that tastes like a foot.
Been there and done that.
Been there and done that. You eat that cake.
Exactly. You finish it up.
You finish that up. Like, who cares if it tastes like a foot? But yeah, it's a different mindset for us. So it's hard to change our mindset. But I mean, I don't know. It's like I said, it's, you know, I have a lot of respect for anybody who wants to take this journey to lose weight. And takes a lot of effort and there's a lot of hurdles for people to overcome, man. But
yeah, well, one other point about all that is, like, you know, we tend to center food around, like, big events, you know, like family events, or even just like you're saying, watching TV. Like, I can't say how many times I'm like, okay, let me try to plan this meal around watching this movie or this, sure, like, you know, I'm a big wrestling guy. So when this wrestling event comes on, let's make sure we got our, make sure we got our food coming at the right time. Yeah. You know, like there's a whole thing with that.
Yeah, that's okay. It's okay to, food should be a celebration. Food should, I mean, you know what? Eating should be one of the things that makes you happy. It's, there's not that many things that can make you happy in life. Food should be part of that. So you should be able to, just because you're overweight, you shouldn't give up food as a happy thing. You know what I mean? Right. You just have to be more mindful of it. We just need to appreciate food more. That's the funny thing. I think people who want to lose weight think, well, I guess the way I lose weight is for the rest of my life, I will now hate food and eat awful food and never appreciate food again. And it's the exact opposite. If you want to lose weight, you need to really appreciate food from now on, really love food and learn to just only eat stuff that you appreciate and stop eating crap that you don't appreciate and makes you feel bad about yourself. You know, it's a total 180. It's not a 360. It's a total 180.
I've made that mistake too.
Oh yeah. That one bugs me. The one that really bugs me was when people say that something is really unique. That's my pet peeve, because it can't be really unique. It can only be unique.
Yes. That is true. I mean, that is
right.
True.
It can only be unique. If it's unique, it's unique. It can't be really unique. So, that's me. Everybody gets, this drives me nuts. But anyway, I digress. But yeah, but so, you know, the other thing, I don't know if you've noticed this, that people are really well-intentioned on Instagram and saying, hey, you know what, during this pandemic, and like, I know you said, this is, hopefully things are a lot better when this airs.
I hope so, man.
I really do. Cause this is tough. And a lot of people are going through some stuff and people are saying this and they mean it in the best way. They're saying, hey, you know what, during this time, it doesn't matter. Don't worry if you gain weight during the pandemic, and don't worry what people think if during this time you're gaining some weight, right? You see that all the time. And I'm not saying that that's wrong when people say that, but it's wrong. What I mean by that is, it doesn't matter if you gain weight when it's a beautiful sunny day and the world is good. It doesn't matter to any. The only person that it makes a difference to is you.
Yes.
Gary, I like you the way you are. I don't care what you weigh. You know, your weight matters to you and only to you, okay? The people in your life that love you no matter what you weigh, okay? Your weight doesn't matter to somebody else. It only matters to you. Everything else is just an excuse that you make to yourself. If you want to use the pandemic, if you want to use the holidays, if you want to use anything that to say, I need to take a break now, that's up to you. If that's what you want to do, that's great. But, you know, it's all about yourself and what you need to go forward. But people shouldn't say that, you know, at other times, care what people think. Don't care what people think. Care what you think. It's all about what you think and what you need, you know, because if it's not about you, if your weight loss is not about you, you're never going to succeed.
Exactly. It all starts with you, and you're doing it just for you. You're not doing it for your mom, your dad, your girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever. It's just for you.
Just for 100% for you. You need a team to succeed. I really believe that. You need to put a team together. But you can have a team of one, and the team being yourself, because you got to be honest with yourself. You got to be supportive of yourself. And you can, that's a great team. Okay. And if you're not on your own team, you're never going to succeed. Okay. I love teams. I'm a sports guy. I love teams. I love a good team.
Yeah, guy. I see, I know you're in the middle of a big point, but I see you got this damn Mets stuff on over here. I don't know how I feel about that.
Sorry. Big Mets fan. Now, are you a Nats guy?
Yes, sir.
Well, my good friend of mine is the head trainer of the Nats. So,
no kidding.
But otherwise I'm not a Nats fan, obviously. But I was happy for him when they won, but otherwise, oh God, I can't. It's not my thing. Can't deal with it.
I love the transformation photo, but the Mets stuff, I just...
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, been Mets fan for a long time. That's a lot of misery there, too. That's, I mean, that's harder than being 400 pounds, being a Mets fan, man.
True story.
But, you know, but yeah, like I was saying, it's important to have people supporting you too. I think anybody out there that can bring people in to support you, but it's gotta be about yourself, man. It has to be, you have to be your own biggest supporter in this. It's not going to work. You have to be honest with yourself. It's the biggest thing.
Definitely. And, you know, speaking of kind of the pandemic and everything, where are you at with all this? How are, I mean, obviously you seem like you're in a great mood today, but just in general, how are you doing during all of this?
Well, you know, I'm okay. My wife works for a bank, so she's been able to work from home. And that's worked out. My son, we really are concerned. He is a junior at Holy Cross, where I had worked for 20 years. And my wife and I both went to school. And so for him, it's been rough. So he had to come home mid-semester. He was captain of the track team. So he was getting ready for his season to start, you know, so he missed his whole season. He's not with his friends. He's got, you know, I mean, so he was really devastated. So it's been tough for him. So, I mean, but we're lucky, you know, we're healthy. We've got a nice house, so we've got room to spread out. We've got good internet connection. So all things being equal, we're happy and healthy. But it's starting to touch us a little bit. You know, we know people that have passed away from it. And we were just talking. I mean, my dad passed away in November. And we were just talking recently about, you know, we had a big celebration for him, obviously, you know, the wake and the funeral. And
yeah,
we just, these poor people now who are losing somebody and now they can't do that. And we were saying, I mean, we're not saying how we're, but we're just fortunate that we were able to do that for my dad. It would be devastating to lose somebody now and then not be able to celebrate them, you know? So there's all the stuff that people are missing. It's tough. So I'm doing okay. We're doing okay. I think we are appreciative for what we have, and, but it's scary. And, I'm thankful that, you know, we have our health. I mean, you know, like I said, I know what I have to deal with every day, but a lot of people have to deal with worse. So I don't complain about it, man. I tell you, you look good and healthy. You're everybody in your family healthy?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, my wife, she did lose her grandfather to it as well. That was about a week or two. The thing with this time is like all the time is mixed up now.
Oh my god! Yeah, I know. I think I told you this. I think it was something you posted on Instagram that I replied to. Literally, my day starts. My wife gets up because she starts working at like 6:30 in the morning. So right. I'll get up. And I usually get up and I hop on the treadmill like right in the morning because I feel good right when I get up. But I'll go out to where she's working in the house and she'll say, "Happy Tuesday," or "Happy Wednesday." Yeah. Like she literally announces the day of the week. That is literally the only way I know what day it is. So she is the calendar in the house. So that's how we keep track of what day it is. So otherwise you really lose. I mean, you used to say this to people like, "Hey, have a good weekend." You don't say that anymore. It doesn't.
No.
That phrase has no meaning anymore in the world.
That now more than ever, I'm trying to record more of these podcasts because it gives me some sort of connection with people while we're going through all this madness. Because God knows I'm not out going to this place and that place and seeing friends and hanging out. So
yeah, you really. The one thing I would say, I mean, there's nothing good from it. Okay.
Yeah.
But I've been doing some Zoom lunches like with friends. You know, some like getting some groups of friends together. And at one of them last week, I said, this is a group that I said, you know, why weren't we doing this before all this?
Right.
I mean, really, there was no reason why weren't we doing this? We could have been doing this before. We could have been connecting in this way. And it does make you, I think if nothing else, I hope that feeling of interconnectedness remains when we get back out in the world and we realize, you know, we should have been checking up on people more. We should have been trying to reconnect with people because it's important to do that. So I hope that people do that. I'm trying to be mindful of it. Checking up on people once a week, just, hey, how you doing? How's everything going in your family? And I hope that remains because, you know, I don't know where we are. We're in the second inning or the third inning of this. Is still a long way to go.
I love how you brought it back to baseball. I appreciate it.
Everything back. If I can bring everything back to baseball or comic books, that's where I'll bring it. So.
It looks like, is that some comics on your wall back there?
Comic book art. That's what that is on my wall. Yeah.
Very cool. I don't know a lot about it, but is one of those up there kind of like your favorite piece? Are they different pieces?
This is fascinating for people listening and not seeing this, obviously.
Well, the YouTube people, the IGTV people, they can see
it. Gotcha. Well, for people who have to look at my face this whole time, I do apologize.
Me too. I apologize.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, this is a beauty contest here. You win. Those are the original pages used to make comic books. So those are the original pieces of art that were then used to produce comics. I collected comic books when I was a kid and have a big collection. And eventually I was going to pass it all on to my son, but I had like 30 of these big long boxes of comics. And I'm like, you know, am I going to be passing on a gift or a burden to him, you know, with all these.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know, I want to start to kind of get that down. And so I started selling some of it off and buying this art because I really enjoy it. I think it's kind of cool. Like, this is literally one of a kind pieces of, these are pages from comics that I really enjoyed as a kid. And it kills me because this stuff is like super valuable now. These are not nearly the way, I mean, there's stuff that's like $100,000 versions of these.
Right.
But when I was a kid, I remember going to comic book shows with my dad and seeing these behind the tables for like $5. And I'm like, oh, who would want those things? Yeah, the people that bought them now and are like millionaires, those are the people that were smart enough to buy those then, not me. Yeah. But it's just kind of cool stuff. And, you know, I'm in my little home office. This is the room where my wife says, yeah, anything on the wall in that room, you can put up. That's the room. That's it. So.
Yeah. One of the things I like to get from time to time are movie posters. That's one of the things I love to have. That. It drives my wife absolutely nuts. And she's had to limit the ones that I could put in. I knew it at the one at work, because I work for a marketing company that deals with automotive. And so I picked Days of Thunder, which is a NASCAR movie, and Speed, which deals with a public bus. So I'm like, technically, they have to deal with automotive, so they kind of count.
Yep, that does count. That counts, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And then this back here, for people that are watching on YouTube and such, I have The Wizard, which people kind of panned as a Nintendo advertisement movie, but when I was a kid, I saw this movie and I did not know about Super Mario Brothers 3, and they actually debuted that in the movie. So I have these two kind of going next to each other.
Oh, that makes sense.
With all this wiring and stuff back here too. Right.
Nice. this one right back here. Now I'm of course older than you. You're not even 40 yet, right?
No, I'm getting there though.
All right. I'm a child of the 70s and then 80s. But so in the mid 70s, there was a comic that was Superman versus Spider-Man. So Marvel and DC got together and made a book where they put both characters in it. And they like promoted this book for like a year and a half before it came out. And this was, you know, this was like the be all and end all. Like, you had to go to the drugstore. This is when I used to buy comics in the drugstore.
Right.
The fact that they used to call things the drugstore was fantastic, but that's, you know, and so when I started collecting art, that was one of my obsessions. I needed to get a page from that book. And it's obviously hard because there's only like, you know, there's 50 pages from or whatever from that book. And if they even exist, they haven't been destroyed. So I was able to find that one page from that book. So that I was happy to be able to track that down. And these, you know, these pages are scattered all over the world. So I just bought a couple of pages from some guy in Australia last week. So it's fun. It's a fun thing to collect. It's nice because instead of comic books, which are stuck in the closet, these I can put up on the wall and enjoy. So that's why I buy that stuff.
Fair enough. Well, let's end on this, Frank. I know with these uncertain times, we don't know what the hell we're doing next week, but what are some kind of goals that you have in your mind that, you know, in the next 3 to 5 years you're hoping to accomplish?
Well, I mean, for me, what I would really like to do, I mean, I'm with all my headache stuff, what they keep telling me is at some point it's going to end. So that sounds great to me because, like, yeah. I said, I mean, I was used to being the busiest man and working, and when I can get back, I would really like to see the next part of my life be helping people with weight loss. And I just don't know how that's going to manifest itself. So, you know, whether that is counseling people one-on-one or in groups or public speaking or what, but I think I want to find a way to try to help people. And I don't know what that is yet, Gary, but that's what I want to do. I think, I really think that that's going to be my goal. I'm not sure if I want to, you know, get some more training or just keep trying to put out there what I've learned and share with people and see if I can help people. But for now, I just want to be available to people. They contact me. I can be a cheerleader, be a coach, be a helpful. I just want to help people and see where that takes me. But that's the road I want to go down because I think that's probably the path for me going forward. And then besides that, I just want to be happy and healthy and, you know, spend time with my family because that's the important thing. That's the good stuff in life.
Definitely. Well, I will tell you this, you have a way with words, you have a way to story tell. So, communicating with people, helping them out, I don't think that's going to be a problem at all because, I think people just listening to this or watching will be really drawn in by the way that you explain things and things of that nature. So you got a hell of a gift of gab. You know, that's the best way I could put it.
Thank you very much. You do too, really. I mean, the way you bring people in with your story, I think, is terrific. I think you are very accessible to people, and I think the way you show all the good and the bad, and I think it's why people are drawn to you. And I think I think you help a lot of people, and show people why it's possible. Everything's possible. You talk about hard work and you're absolutely right. But you also don't, you know, a lot of people on Instagram and, you know, sugarcoat things and they make it look like everything's all pretty and you don't do that. You're very honest. And I think that's one of the things that made me want to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate it. I will always make myself available to people that want it. I think if I can get out of my own damn way and stop closing myself out from people, stop slamming the door because I'm, you know, very introverted and at times I keep to myself.
You're the least introverted introvert that I've ever spoken to. So, I mean, you've done
it. It takes me
a
while. Believe me.
Yeah. Well, it was a pleasure. This was a pleasure. You're terrific. Maybe down the line we can do it again. But,
So. 100%. Definitely. Frank, thank you so much for the time. One more time before we go, tell people the Instagram, the blog website, give them everything. So, and I'll put it in the description, but
great. Yeah. It's I'm at Lighten Up Blog for Instagram and it's lightenupblog.com. You can reach me there. You can, if you get me through the gram, my email is at the blog. Just any way you want to reach out to me, I'm happy to help people. Lots of recipes and a lot of this kind of advice and stuff is on the blog, but I'm happy to help people. Whatever I can do, I'd love to do it. So just reach out.
Well, folks, there you go. Go light up his stuff. Go check him out. Everything he's got going on. Frank, thank you so much. Been a pleasure. And we'll do this again for sure, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
See ya.
Take care.
All right. Thanks again to Frank for coming on the podcast, man. That guy dropped a lot of fire, right? Dropped a lot of fire, a lot of value, which reminds me, if you are getting value from the show and you happen to be listening to me on an Apple device, I would love it if you would take some moments to leave a review if you actually enjoy the show. It actually goes a long way. Apple puts a lot of stock into this, believe it or not. They're like, oh my God, this person has a million reviews. We need to shoot them to the moon. It's true. So if you can help me out, go over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. Other than that, I'm getting out of here. We're done. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much for the support. And I will talk to you again very soon.